Hello there, Shalom. This is Amazing Grace, Extraordinary Truth, and I am your host, Lydia, and this is the plumb line. How do we measure up? And guess what? We're on part 8. Isn't that amazing? Welcome once again as we continue our study of the 10 commandments of Yahuwah. Last installment was commandment number 5 and 6 regarding honoring our parents and the command not to kill. As always, I will read the scripture text up to the last study commandment and review part 7. And you, of course, go into part, review part 7 before we begin our today's lesson. Amen. And today's lesson is going to take us almost to the end of the commandments. I actually have notes through commandment number 9 and may even add 10 as we get closer to the hour. So all scriptures will be from the Sefer Bible unless otherwise stated. Now, I am using some new King James Version, so I'll let you know when I'm in the new King James and you'll know the difference. But I'll let you know when I'm there. Okay. God bless you as we go forth. Now, let's read. Exodus 20 verses 1 through 13 from the Sefer. And Elohim spoke all these words, saying, I am Yahuwah Eloheka, which have brought you out of the land of Mitzrayim, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other Elohim before me. You shall not make unto you any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in the heavens above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow yourself to them nor serve them, for I am Yahuwah Eloheka. I, Yahuwah Eloheka, am a jealous El, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and guard my commandments. You shall not take the name of Yahuwah Eloheka in vain, for Yahuwah will not hold him guiltless that takes his name in vain. Remember the day of the Shabbath to keep it holy. 6 days shall you labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Shabbath of Yahuwah Eloheka. In it you shall not do any work, you nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your manservant, nor your maidservant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger that is within your gates. For Yahuwah made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore, Yahuwah blessed the day of Shabbat and hallowed it. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which Yahuwah Eloheka gives you. You shall not kill. Let's review. Now in part 7, number 1, honor, is the Hebrew word kavad in both scriptures. Regarding the honor of parents, this term lends weight to the matter. This is an honor that is weighty to Yahuwah. Number 2, the word long in Exodus and prolonged in Deuteronomy is the word arak. And it means to lengthen or to draw out, to defer, as in defer a set time, to outlive or to overlive. Number 3. Now, in light of these scriptures' meanings, in light of the scriptures that we had read previously in this lesson, let's look at it again. And this is what it would say. It is of considerable significance that you honor your father and your mother so that it go well with you and your days be lengthened, as in increased in number in the land that Yahuwah Eloheka gives you. With all diligence, your life and the quality thereof depends on adherence to this commandment, so you reap its promise. Number 4, you shall rise up before the gray head and honor the face of the old man and fear your Elohim. I am Yahuwah Eloheka, Leviticus 19 and 32. Number 5, he that smites or assaults his father or mother shall be put to death, Exodus 21:17. Number 6, do not uncover the nakedness of your father or your mother, Leviticus 18:7. Don't reveal their vulnerabilities. Number 7, whoever shall curse his father or his mother shall be put to death, Exodus 21:17, that bears repeating. Number 8, rebellious and obstinate children, rebellious and obstinate children shall be put to death. Deuteronomy 21:18-21. Number 9, hear the instruction of your father and do not abandon the law of your mother. Proverbs 1:8. Number 10, keep your father's commandment and don't reject the law of your mother. Proverbs 6:20. Number 11, the eye that mocks his father and despises to obey his mother, the raven shall pluck out and the eagles shall eat it. Proverbs 30:17. Number 12, whoever robs his father or his mother is a companion to the destroyer. Proverbs 28:24. Number 13, commandment number 6, you shall not kill. Number 14, the word kill is rodsak in the Hebrew tongue, and it means to break or to dash into pieces, to kill, to destroy, to slay. The act or of homicide or assassination. It is also noted that there is a late Hebrew derivative in one of the lexicons that adds the meaning of to break, bruise, or to crush. Number 15, Proverbs 6:16-19. 6 things Yahuwah hates, yea, 7 are an abomination unto him: a proud look, a lying tongue, the and hands that shed innocent blood, and heart that devises wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaks lies, and he that sows discord among the brethren. Emphasis in this number on the hands that shed innocent blood. Number 16. We were created in his image to give him glory. Thus choosing to destroy a life that he has created is in direct violation of his standards. You shall not kill. Number 17, you shall not murder. You shall not slay. You shall not crush until a heart stops. You shall not bruise until one bleeds to death. You shall not slay. You shall not assassinate. You shall not commit homicide or suicide. You shall not break to cause death. You shall not kill. Number 18, Jeremiah 7:6-7. If ye oppress not the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, and shed not innocent blood in this place, neither walk after the gods to your hurt, then will I cause you to dwell in this land, in the land that I gave to your fathers forever and ever. Number 19, 1 Peter 4:15. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Suffer here is pascho, and it means to experience a painful vexation, sensation, passion, feeling, or impression. Number 20, Leviticus 24:17. And he that killeth any man shall surely be put to death. Number 21, Romans 12:17-21. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Number 22, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith Yahuwah. Number 23. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Number 24. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Number 25. This passage takes us directly into my next point under the commandment, you shall not kill. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Number 26, Proverbs 18 and 21. If you love death, the fruit of death is what you will consume. And if you love life, then the fruit of life is what you will consume. Number 27, we speak life into people and not death. If you are an assassinator of character, a slayer of reputations, a crusher of hopes and dreams, a murderer of destinies, if you dash into pieces the self-esteem of others, you are in violation of this command, you shall not kill. The next commandment is commandment number 7, and that begins our lesson in part 4. Exodus 20 and 14 says, you shall not break wedlock. Deuteronomy 5 and 18 reads, neither shall you break wedlock. The King James Version says, thou shalt not commit adultery. The word wedlock and also the word adultery in these scriptures is na'af, and this term is both Hebrew and Aramaic. Side note, many of the terms in scripture are derived from single terms that are both Hebrew and Aramaic. Case in point, Yeshua HaMashiach is the same in both languages, except the Aramaic rarely uses the ha as a descriptor. The word wedlock again is na'af, and its meaning is to break marriage covenant by becoming one with another who is not one's lawful spouse. The American Heritage Dictionary of the English language defines adultery as consensual sexual intercourse between a married person and a person other than their spouse. The second definition under this is violation of the marriage bed, carnal connection of a married person with another other than lawful spouse. In a more restricted sense, the wrong by a wife which introduces or may introduce a spurious offspring into a family. The third definition under the English dictionary is in the seventh commandment of the Decalogue, as generally understood, all manners of lewdness or unchastity in act or thought. See Matthew 5. It actually wrote, see Matthew 5, verses 27 through 32. So we're going to take a look at that. And we're coming from the New King James Version in this explanation. And it has a subtopic in these particular verses that I'm reading, verses 27 through 30, that says adultery in the heart. You have heard that it is said to those of old, you shall not commit adultery. But I say unto you, whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you. For it is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and cast it from you. For it is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell. Now there is a second subheading in these next portions of scripture that I'm going to read from 31 and 32. These are the verses from Matthew chapter 5. Matthew 5, verses 31 and 32. And the subtitle is Marriage is Sacred and Binding. Furthermore, it has been said, whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce. But I say to you that whoever divorces his wife for any reason except sexual immorality causes her to commit adultery. And whoever marries a woman who is divorced commits adultery. Marriage is a sacred, solemn, and binding agreement, bringing a man and a woman and Yahuwah into covenant to fulfill the mandate on the lives of the couple together. This institution was and is established by Yahuwah. He alone sets the tone and the parameters, and it is only holy as it is adhered to in the manner that he has proclaimed. Breaking such an agreement is a serious matter that has been taken all too lightly in this age. The spirit of Yahuwah considers it treacherous to deal with one's spouse with such disdain. In Malachi chapter 2, verses 10 through 16, and I'm taking this from the Amplified Bible, it says this: Do we not all have one Father? Has not one God created us? Why do we deal treacherously with one another, profaning the covenant of our fathers with God? Judah has been treacherous, disloyal, and a repulsive act has been committed in Israel and in Jerusalem, for Judah has profaned the sanctuary of the Lord, which he loves, and has married the daughter of a foreign god. As for the man who does this, may the Lord cut off from the tents of Jacob to the last man those who do this evil thing. Awake and aware, even the one who brings an offering to the Lord of hosts. This is another thing you do. You cover the altar of the Lord with tears, with your own weeping and sighing, because the Lord no longer regards your offering or accepts it with favor from your hand. But you say, why does he reject it? Because the Lord has been a witness between you and your and the wife of your youth, against whom you have dealt treacherously. Yet she is your marriage companion, the wife of your covenant, my Yah, made by your vows, but not one has done so. Who has a remnant of the spirit? And what did one do while seeking a godly offspring? Take heed then to your spirit, and let no one deal treacherously against the wife of his youth. For I hate a divorce, says Yahuwah, the Elohim of Israel, and him who covers his garment with wrong and violence, says Yahuwah of hosts. Therefore, keep watch on your spirit, so that you do not deal treacherously with your wife. Yahuwah hates divorce and has allowed it only because of rebellion, which, as we know, is as the sin of witchcraft. See how treacherous this behavior is. We've read it in the scriptures. You've heard it with your own ears, how treacherous Yahuwah sees these behaviors as being. Amen. He even marked the people of his own people as being adulterous in the book of Hosea. It's treacherous to the Father and a sin against him. He is a part of the marriage covenant. So not only are in adultery is one being treacherous toward their spouse, but they are being treacherous toward Yahuwah as well. And he does not take it lightly. Marriage was and is established as one of the building blocks of creation, a civilized Yah-fearing society instituted as being between one man and one woman, See Genesis 2:24 and Matthew 19:5. Marriage is the expression of Yah's image revealed as the man and the woman complement and complete one another in order to fulfill the mandated assignment on their lives. Scripture lets us know that marriage is the vehicle by which Yah designed the procreation of the human race and the preservation of godly offspring. See Genesis 1:28 and 9:1 and Malachi 2:15. And he seeks to protect it and each of us from the defilement of this union, thus prohibiting adultery as a violation of the sacredness of this bonded covenant. Hebrews 13:4 in the ESV says, let marriage be held in honor among all, and let the marriage bed be undefiled, for God will judge the sexually immoral and adulterous. The commandment in the Sefer says, do not break wedlock. Hebrews tells us that marriage should be held in honor. We talked about honor in a previous installment as related to our mother and father. There should be an honor code among couples whereby boundaries are never breached because they don't put themselves in a vulnerable position to violate the laws of Yahuwah. This sin, like fornication, is one of the sins against Yah and your own body. And such violation puts one on a course of destruction in their bodies and in their spirit. Let the marriage bed be undefiled. The word undefiled is amientos, and in the Greek, and it refers to its natural state being without deformity and without defect and being unsoiled. So we see here when one commits adultery, it causes a deformity. It causes a defect. It soils the relationship between both parties and their relationship with the Father. Amen. Both of the parties who committed the violation as well, who consented to that violation. It literally causes the covenant to take on a different form, because now it is broken. It causes it to take on a different form, which once was pure and without defect, is now broken and deformed and soiled. But also noted is bringing unnatural activities into the marriage bed. Remember, undefiled. The marriage bed should be undefiled. So if sodomy, homosexuality, lesbianism, bestiality is an abomination to Yah, it remains so in the marriage bed, even if you both agree, it is still an abomination. This culture has introduced all kinds of abhorrence into Yah's holy covenant, defiling what should have been pure and making it unholy and abased. Unfortunately, some in the body of Christ are participating and ignoring the prompts of the Holy Spirit, so they live even as one who is reprobate at one time, making excuses for their actions, saying marriage is honorable and the bed undefiled, but now feeling no guilt because their ears have gone deaf as they continue to defile their once honorable bed. And they can no longer see the imminent danger that is ahead of them. Father Yah, let the marriage bed be undefiled, for God will judge the sexually immoral and the adulterous. Yah will judge the sexually immoral and the adulterous. Side note, it's funny how we use the word judge incorrectly these days. Judgment always has an element of being tried, found guilty, and having to experience a punishment. When we remind you that these things shall be, it's not judgment. We are warning you so that you can repent and perhaps avoid the impact of the judgment that would have been imminent if you did not turn. He will judge the sexually immoral. This word is parnas in the Greek, which means unlawful sexual intercourse. Unlawful sexual intercourse, and includes any and all sexual perversions and abominations as written in Scripture. It includes all of them. The word is parnas. This word in Scripture for adulteress is moihas. Yes, and it refers to adulterer, but it also refers to them as being faithless toward Yah, and apostate, having abandoned their relationship with Yahuwah to embrace perversion. Let me repeat that one to you one more time, because it's really significant. The word in this scripture for adulteress is moihas, and it does refer to adulterer. It refers to one that has committed adultery. But look what it also means. It also refers to them as being faithless toward Yah and apostate, having abandoned their relationship with Yahuwah to embrace perversion. So now they're embracing another god, the spirit of perversion. With great love and precision, the Father gave his laws and commandments to the Hebrews, and now to us, to establish as a peculiar people, a holy nation, a royal priesthood, to uphold and to uphold them, and that they be upheld by us, and that we be led by him. He didn't want us to endure the ravages of wickedness that other nations endured. So he set boundaries to safeguard us in the form of commandments. These are the boundaries that he set to safeguard us from the ancient evils that are constantly bombarding and trying to get through the barriers that the Father has set about us. But if we are obedient to the will of Yah, if we are following his commandments, if we are guarding this covenant that he has given us, we are protected even from the bombardment. And even when it feels as if we are being bent by these things, we will spring forth once again, because the Spirit of the Father is in us, and he shall prevail, and not the wickedness of the evil one. It is his Spirit that shall prevail in us if we would but obey the words that he has spoken to us. He has given us. Amen. He's given us this word. He's given us these commandments. He's given us these laws and these boundaries to safeguard us from the evil one, to safeguard us from all the influences in the world, to safeguard us even from the prevailing culture. He's given us these commandments so that we could stand in the secret place of the Most High, so that even when the enemy took things, he had to give it back. He has to give it back, because we're standing in the Father. Oh, glory, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, my, hallelujah. Now let's look at Leviticus 18, 1 through 5. I'm telling you, I feel, oh, glory, hallelujah, I feel his presence. Oh, my God. Leviticus 18, 1 through 5. And Yahuwah spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the people of Israel and say to them, I am Yahuwah Eloheka. You shall not do as they do in the land of Egypt where you lived. You shall not do as they do in the land of Canaan to which I am bringing you. You shall not walk in their statutes. You shall not follow You shall not walk in their statutes. You shall follow my rules and keep my statutes and walk in them. I am Yahuwah Eloheka. You shall therefore keep my statutes and my rules. If a person does them, he shall live by them. I am Yahuwah. He was speaking life into us right there. He was letting us know that we cannot do the things that the world is doing. We cannot fall into every trend and every new thing that's happening in the world. I mean, I understand that some things are innocent, but most things are not. We have to be discerning in this hour. We cannot follow after the trends of the world. They believe now, in this hour, they believe right is wrong and wrong it is right. That's what they believe. And if we follow after them, we will reap the same reward of destruction that they are reaping now. And we will put ourselves in the path of the judgment of Yahuwah that is taking place in the earth even right now. We have to stick close to our Father. We have to stick close. This is that time you want to be a daddy's girl. This is that time you want to be a daddy's boy. This is that time when you need to stick close to the Father and understand what His will is for your life and for this generation. This is that time you need to make sure you're covering your children and making them to understand what the will of the Father is for their lives. And that they understand His culture and that He is not pleased with this culture. Just like He wasn't pleased with Egypt and He was not pleased with Canaan. He told them they could not do the things that was done in the land of Egypt. And even when they're crossing over into Canaan, God, nope, you can't be like them either. You cannot follow after the things they follow after. You will not serve the gods that they serve. I don't even want you to know who they are. They weren't even supposed to introduce their gods and their ways into their culture. It was commanded by Yahuwah. And the same command is to us. He said it a little bit differently in the New Testament than He does in the Old. And I need you to understand that even the scriptures in what we call the New Testament and the Old, they are not divided. Man divided it. It is one book and one message to mankind. And that is where we have gotten it confused. So many think they don't have to follow the commandments anymore because they separated the books. But men did that. They did that when they did the translations. Men did that. It was not separated by Yah. There are still things that are yet to come to pass in that is considered the Old Testament. There's still things there that are yet to come to pass, and people have closed that side of the book. That's why you're confused. That's why you don't understand what the will of the Father is. That's why you don't know what hour this is, because you've closed His voice on that side of the book. But open it up again, because the Father is speaking to this generation, and He's speaking loudly to each of us. You shall not break wedlock. Thou shall not commit adultery. Commandment number 7. Glory to Yah. Our next commandment is commandment number 8. You shall not steal. Exodus 20 and 15. And you shall not, and neither shall you steal. In Deuteronomy 5 and 19. The word translated as steal is the word ganav in the Hebrew, and it means to carry away. It comes from a primitive root. And let me get this right for you. It comes from a primitive root that means to thieve, and figuratively means to deceive. It is to carry away stealthily. According to the American Heritage Dictionary of the English language, to steal has this meaning: to take the property of another without right or permission, to present or use someone else's words or ideas as one's own, to get or take secretly or artfully. Synonyms are words that mean the same as steal that are also being used today are filch, pilfer, purloin, embezzle, smuggle, rob, withdraw, and remove. The bottom line is to steal means to take something without permission, whatever it is. If you do not have permission to remove a thing, it is theft. And you are a thief and a robber and in violation of the commandment of Yahuwah. It's important to note here that anyone that violates this commandment is in alignment with the adversary who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. See John chapter 10, verse 9, where it says, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come, says Yahusha, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." The thief comes to take our life. Yeshua comes to give us life. Note the difference. He says, if you love him, keep his commandments. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Keep his life-sustaining and life-quickening word. We must guard our covenant with Yah with all of our strength. It shows the love we have for him. And it is also a command that we should love Yahuwah with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. And we should love our neighbors as ourselves. Our neighbor is anyone outside of our household, just in case you needed that information. All right, let's look at what Yah says about stealing from the New King James Version of the Bible. Ephesians 4 and 28. Let him who stole steal no more, or steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give who has need. So that he may have something to give him who has need. Leviticus 19 and 11, you shall not steal, nor deal falsely, nor lie to one another. Proverbs 10 and 2, treasures of wickedness profit nothing, but righteousness delivers from death. Exodus 22 and 7, if a man delivers to his neighbor money or articles to keep, and it is stolen out of the man's house, if the thief is found, he shall pay double. Romans 13 and 9. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet. And if there is any other commandment, are all summed up in the saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Proverbs 12 and 22, lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who deal truthfully are his delight. 1 Timothy 6 and 10, for the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. 1 Corinthians 6 and 10, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. Hosea 4 and 2, by swearing and lying, killing and stealing, committing adultery, they break all restraint with bloodshed upon bloodshed. That's what's happening in the earth today. Proverbs 20 and 17, bread gained by deceit is sweet to a man, but afterward his mouth will be filled with gravel. Leviticus 19 and 13, you shall not cheat your neighbor nor rob him. The wages of him who is hired shall not remain with you all night until morning. Psalm 62 and 10, do not trust in oppression, nor vainly hope in robbery. If riches increase, do not set your heart on them. Commandment number 8, you shall not steal. Don't steal your boss's stuff like the stapler, stationery, pens, and fancy notebooks. Don't steal time, as in altering the time clock records or getting someone else to clock in for you. Don't steal words, as in plagiarizing someone else's material in books or publication, or as in repeating messages that Yah never gave you without giving credit to the one who spoke it. You are a thief and a liar if you do this. Don't steal credibility, as in using your kid's social security number fraudulently because you ruined your credit and now you are ruining theirs. Don't steal reputations, as in posing as someone else to receive the benefits they receive or lying on someone else to tarnish their character. If you do this, you are a thief and a robber. Don't steal to boost your reputation with your vile friends. Both you and them will end up in prison. Don't misrepresent homeowners to rent out or sell their properties. If you do, you are a thief and a robber. If you do any of these things, you are in violation of commandment number 8. Thou shalt not steal. You shall not steal. Commandment number 9. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. Exodus 20 verse 16 and Deuteronomy 5 and 20. Now I'm coming from the New King James Version, and I realize I am scripture bombing you today. So I hope you have your papers in hand and are writing down these scriptures, because these are things that we need to commit to memory so that we do not sin against the Father. David says, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." So many times we forget what the Lord has spoken and we ignore the prompts of his spirit, but he is charging these things against us in this hour, and he will judge us for our violations of his commandments, our violations of his words, our rebelliousness against his spirit and against his holiness. He will judge us, and he is judging. Commandment number 9, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. Proverbs 6 and 19 says, a false witness will speak lies. A false witness who speaks lies and one who sows discord among the brethren, those who lie. Proverbs 19 and 5, a false witness will not go unpunished, and he who speaks lies will not escape. He who speaks lies will not escape. Judgment is coming. Proverbs 19 and 9. A false witness will, this is another verse. A false witness will not go unpunished, and he who speaks lies shall perish. Ephesians 4 and 25, do not grieve the spirit is what my Bible says. And a verse says, therefore, putting away lying, let each of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Matthew 19 and 18, he said to them, which ones, Jesus said, you shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness. John 8 and 44, you are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. He told the Pharisees in that hour, he told them that they were of their father, the devil. And so many of us he is speaking to us in like manner. You are of your father, the devil, because we are speaking from the resources of the adversary himself. He was a liar from the very beginning and the father thereof. Exodus 23:1-2. You shall not circulate a false report. Do not put your hand with the wicked to be unright and an unrighteous witness. You shall not follow a crowd to do evil, nor shall you testify in a dispute as to turn aside after many to pervert justice. Revelation 21 and 8, but the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. 1 John 2 and 4, he who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Proverbs 25 and 8. Do not go hastily to a court, for what will you do in the end when your neighbor has put you to shame? Proverbs 14 and 5. A faithful witness does not lie, but a false witness will utter lies. Proverbs 6 and 19, a false witness who speaks lies and one who sows discord among the brethren are among the things that Yahuwah does hate. Yes, this bears repeating in this season. Proverbs 12 and 17, he who speaks the truth declares righteousness, but a false witness deceit. Proverbs 21 and 28, Proverbs 21 verse 28. A false witness shall perish, but the man who hears him will speak endlessly. Luke 3:14. Likewise, the soldiers asked him, saying, and what shall we do? So he said to them, do not intimidate anyone or accuse falsely, and be content with your wages. Exodus 23 and 7. Keep yourself far from a false matter. Do not kill the innocent and righteous, for I will not justify the wicked. Exodus 20 and 16. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. Deuteronomy 5 and 20. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. My. These are the commandments of the Most High. Yahuwah himself, these are his commandments, and he wrote them that we might follow them. He wrote them so that we would be established as a people. He wrote them, amen, so that we were established in the covenant with him. He made us a people. Glory to God. He made the Hebrews a people, and he is making us a people. And the only reason we are established in like manner is because of his spirit and because of his command. Amen. And so we read again the Ten Commandments of Yahuwah that come from chapter 20 in the Sefer. And I'm reading through, amen, the entirety. It comes from chapter 20, verse 1 through 17. And we will commence with 17 with in part 9. In part 9, I'm going to begin another portion of the series. But we're going to be talking about things that are happening even in the mind, and things, ways that we can overcome even alterations of the mind, and the things that the enemy is bringing into the mind to cause us to be captured by him. Amen. But we are not his. We belong to Yahuwah. So I read, amen, the commandments of Yahuwah from chapter 20 of Exodus. And Elohim spoke all these words, saying, I am Yahuwah Eloheka, which brought you out of the land of Mitzrayim, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other Elohim before me. You shall not make unto you any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in the heavens above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the waters under the earth. You shall not bow down yourself to them, nor serve them. For I am Yahuwah Eloheka. I, Yahuwah Eloheka, am a jealous El, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and guard my commandments. See, that is our mandate, to guard the commandments of Yahuwah Eloheka. You shall not take the name of Yahuwah Elohecha in vain, for Yahuwah will not hold him guiltless that takes his name in vain. Remember the day of the Shabbath to keep it holy. 6 days shall you labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Shabbath of Yahuwah Elohecha. In it you shall not do any work, you, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your manservant, nor your maidservant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger that is within your gates. For in 6 days, Yahuwah made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore, Yahuwah blessed the day of Shabbat and hallowed it. He made it holy. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which Yahuwah Elohecha gives you. You shall not kill. You shall not break wedlock. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not lust after your neighbor's house. You shall not lust after your neighbor's woman, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is your neighbor's. And I have read and you have heard from Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 through 17. Amen. This has been the commandments 1 through 9 that we have gone through so far. We will commence, as I said, amen, with commandment number 10 in part 9 of the plumb line. How do we measure up? Amen. I'm sure if you have been following along from the first installment of this series, you see, amen, that the measuring line, that we are being weighed and measured in this hour. The Father is examining us. He's looking at our ways. He's looking at our mindsets. He's looking at our obedience. He's looking at our willingness. He is looking and searching for one who will obey him and give their whole self to them. He's looking for the ones who will love him with all of their hearts and all of their minds and with all of their soul and with all of their strength. And that should be our endeavor in this hour, to obey, amen, all of his commandments. Amen. All of his commandments. That should be, amen, our prayer. Father, oh Father, forgive me for being slack concerning the commandments. We were taught wrongly, people of God. We were taught and we were actually taught, we were poisoned in that wrong dogma. It is toxic to our system because it's against the will of Yah. That's why I call it poison, because it's toxic to our system. Because it caused us to disobey. But now there has been an awakening, and the Father is prompting us by his Spirit, and the Spirit is telling us, it's prompting us to go back and look at it again. Go back and look at my word again. Go back and look at my commandments again. Go back and look at those scriptures again. Go back and check it again. Check the words that have been spoken in the pulpit. Check the words that are being spoken in the streets. Check and see if it's my voice or if it's a voice of the another. And so many, they don't check to see if it's a voice of another, and they just roll with it. But you know what? We were taught to do that, and that was a lie, and that is part of the toxicity. But the Spirit is prompting us now to go back and look at it again. He's calling us in. He's calling us into our secret places of prayer, and he's speaking to us and showing us things that we didn't even know were in his word. And we've read it over and over and over and over again, and now we're seeing things that to us is a revelation, but it was there all the time, but we didn't see it because somebody taught us that it meant something different than it was actually intended. So we didn't get the freedom. We didn't receive the liberty from that word because it was taught wrong. Because instead of receiving life, we received the poison. But now life is going forth because truth is being taught. And as he continues to give us revelation, we'll continue to bring forth the new revelations that he gives us, even of the words that we've already received, because he gives it to us here a little and there a little. And we give glory and honor to Yahuwah. Amen. Because he continues to enlighten us. He continues to teach us. Amen. We don't want to listen to those that say that they are enlightened, because they're talking about some kind of other God and some kind of other thing. Most of the time it refers to humanism. But when we truly receive, when we truly are illuminated, let me use that word. When we truly are illuminated or receive the light, or we suddenly have an aha moment, because the Spirit of the Father has shaken us and turned our head away from the lying word, so that we see the word of truth, so that we see the word that will bring us out and actually will break the bondage of that lie that was once spoken. Oh my. We'll receive breakthrough in our whole life, and it changes everything. It changes our whole perception when we see what he was really saying. Amen. Let's continue to search his word. Let's continue to seek his face, so that he continues to give us revelation, even of words that were already spoken. And some of them were spoken true, but he's still giving us a greater revelation in this hour. So everything we receive were not a lie, but some of it absolutely was. And I brought much of that out in this series so far. So if you have not, amen, been following this series from part one, please go back to part one. Amen. Go back to part one as it is replayed. Amen. Listen to the replays. Write down notes. Amen. Go back and study on your own. Go back and talk to the Father about it, because that's what we should be doing. Every word that we receive in Bible studies, in church, whether it be a word on the street or in a conference or wherever you may be, and whoever it may come from, we should be taking every single word back to the Father to come to clarify and confirm what it is that he is saying to us, because we are the ones that are responsible for our salvation. He told us to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. It's not the responsibility of the preacher. Our salvation is not their responsibility. It is ours. So it is our responsibility to take those prophecies back to the Father, amen, and to contend for them. Amen. It's our responsibility to take those words and those studies back to the Father and gain even greater insight and understanding. It's our responsibility in this hour. We can't put it off on someone else. We like to do that. We want somebody else to be the blame for the sufferings that we go through. We want somebody else to be the reason that we're stuck in the place that we're stuck. But the reason is us. Amen. Each of us is the common denominator in all of our trouble. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. But you know what? Amen. The Father has breakthrough. He is breaking bondages. He is releasing the captives in this hour. He is healing the sick. Miracles are going forth. Breakthroughs are imminent in this hour. He is bringing forth suddenlies. Amen. And even those things that were delayed are coming to pass. Even in this hour, he is blessing those that are seeking his face. And he said that if we would draw nigh to him, that he would draw nigh to us. So that's what we're doing, even in this series, as we gain information and understand why things happened in the past and why we were set on a path that wasn't the right path. And now we just give glory to the Father that the path is set before us. The light is before our feet, and he is our guide. He is our God, and he is our guide. Amen. He is our Elohim. I love that word. He is our Elohim. Amen. And he is our guide. He's the one that's taking us through. He's the one that's bringing us out. He's the one that's doing it. And we give him all of the glory. All of the glory belongs to Yahuwah. We give him all the glory, the honor, and the praise. Hallelujah, for the things that he has done. And that he's about to do. God bless and keep each and every one of you as you go forth in your day. Thank you for joining me for this segment of The Plumb Line. How do we measure up? Part 8. Amen. I'm looking forward to being with you for part 9, where we will finish up the 10 commandments. Amen. We're on commandment number 10, and we will start a new portion of this series. God bless. Amen.